This is the first in a series of public hearings the committee will be holding as part of the House's impeachment inquiry. The questions presented by this impeachment inquiry are whether President Trump sought to exploit that ally's vulnerability, invite Ukraine's interference in our elections, whether President Trump sought to condition official acts on Ukraine's willingness to assist with two political investigations that would help his re-election campaign.
The witnesses deemed suitable for television by the Democrats were put through a closed-door audition process in a cult-like atmosphere in the basement of the Capitol.
It was unexpected and most unfortunate to watch some Americans launch attacks on dedicated public servants advancing U.S. interests in Ukraine.
I wrote that withholding security assistance in exchange for help with a domestic political campaign in the United States would be crazy.
It became clear to me that Giuliani's efforts to gin up politically motivated investigations were now infecting U.S. engagement with Ukraine.
President Trump was adamant that President Zelensky himself had to clear things up and do it in public.
Okay, so Hunter Biden's added to the board of Burisma. Now, do you think that creates a problem?
Sir, I work for the government. I don't work in the corporate sector.
You didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Zelensky's call?
I did not.
You've never talked with Chief of Staff Mulvaney?
I never did.
You never met the president?
That's correct.
This is what I can't believe, and you're their star witness.
The member of my staff could hear President Trump on the phone asking Ambassador Sondland about the investigations. Following the call with President Trump, the member of my staff asked Ambassador Sondland what President Trump thought about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland responded that President Trump cares more about the investigations of Biden, which Giuliani was pressing for.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. All eyes are on Capitol Hill as the House of Representatives kicked off its first round of public hearings in the impeachment inquiry of President Donald Trump. And today we heard from two veteran diplomats. George Kent, a senior State Department official, outlined what he saw as a dangerous mix of politics and U.S. foreign policy.
As a general principle, I do not believe the United States should ask other countries to engage in selective, politically associated investigations or prosecutions against opponents of those in power, because such selective actions undermine the rule of law, regardless of the country.
William Taylor, acting U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, revealed how the Trump administration communicated with leaders of a foreign government.
I found a confusing and unusual arrangement for making U.S. policy toward Ukraine. There appeared to be two channels of U.S. policymaking and implementation, one regular and one highly irregular.
The House Intelligence Committee has been interviewing witnesses for weeks behind closed doors, and transcripts of those interviews suggested a consistent narrative that the White House operated a shadow foreign policy carried out by the president's closest allies, and those efforts focused on Ukraine, and by threatening to withhold military aid, the alleged goal was to push the Ukrainians towards investigating President Trump's political rival, Joe Biden. The fate of Donald Trump's presidency is on the line as Democrats and Republicans make their case to the public. Joining me now with analysis is Max Kuttner, journalist covering the FBI, Justice Department, and Russia probes. Max, thanks for being with us as always.
Thank you.
There seems to be a clear difference in tone between the politicians that we tend to hear from and career prosecutors who we saw today. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. Today's format was a little bit different, where you had 45 minutes of questioning each from a lawyer, first for the majority, the Democrats, and then the minority, the Republicans. Usually it's a back and forth between the committee members. They certainly did less grandstanding. Their role seemed to be to want to bring out information from the transcripts that would serve their purposes, either the Democrats or the Republicans. And we knew ahead of time from our sources that this is how they were going to do that. And so for the Democrats, Daniel Goldman, he tended to say, Bill Taylor, you texted this. What did you mean by this? Or you said this. Isn't that correct? Really just to get that information out there, to reiterate what is in these 700 pages of transcripts from Kent and Taylor. The Republican strategy was similar. However, they were asking different questions. They wanted to bring up corruption in Ukraine. They wanted to bring up whether this was or was not an impeachable offense.
And as we mentioned, most Americans have not read the 700 pages of testimony from Taylor and Kemp's closed door depositions. So there were a few moments that stood out, particularly in their opening statements and also during the prosecutor's questioning. One we heard at the top of the show, which was when Taylor mentions the two channels of diplomacy that the United States had set up, including naming names of who was in that shadow channel of diplomacy with Ukraine. Max, what were your thoughts on that moment?
Well, you know, we heard one bit of new information from Bill Taylor, and that was he discussed that according to Gordon Sondland, the ambassador to the European Union, Trump is more interested in a Biden investigation than in other issues with Ukraine. So that was the big piece of new information. And then, yes, as you said, he talked about this shadow diplomacy. He talked about there being this irregular channel led by Rudy Giuliani. At first, that was working apart from the regular channel. And then I think he used the word diverged from. And he said that as that divergence happened, he became increasingly concerned. He wrote a memo about this. He brought it up to higher-ups. So there was a lot in the Bill Taylor testimony about that regular channel versus the irregular channel, which was reiterating comments he made in his private testimony.
It's after the prosecutors took the stage, we've now seen something that's more of a familiar setup for many Americans during hearings, which is having lawmakers ask questions of both Taylor and Kemp. What is the Democrats' strategy overall when it comes to questioning these two career diplomats?
The Democratic strategy has been to bring out information from the transcripts and get into how unusual all of this was, how unusual it was to have this irregular channel doing shadow diplomacy, how unusual it was to have a private citizen, in this case, Rudy Giuliani, being so involved in this, and even in the words of Bill Taylor, cutting out the regular State Department career officials who had been there for 20 years, 30 years. And so the Democrats, that's what they were trying to do. While the Republicans, on the other hand, you had Jim Jordan, for instance, you had Ratcliffe. These guys were using the GOP talking points that were leaked earlier this week, so we know how closely they stuck to them. They wanted to talk about, and they did talk about, how the security assistance that was withheld was in fact released without an investigation announcement that happened in September. They spoke about how this wasn't an impeachable offense. They spoke about the corruption in Ukraine. They spoke about how these witnesses today were not hearing the information firsthand, or even in some cases secondhand. Jim Jordan spoke a lot about that. They also brought up Hunter Biden. They were asking at one point about Hunter Biden's credentials. So they want to keep things focused on the 2016 election, on Hunter Biden, get things away from President Trump, while the Democrats really wanted to keep on how unusual this was. And also, the Democrats spoke about the dangers of removing security assistance and the importance of keeping Ukraine as an ally.
Republican members of Congress also invoked Joe Biden a couple of times. Basically, the Republicans are trying to say, well, this was the equivalent of what the president did, right? They're trying to draw some sort of equivalency between Joe Biden trying to, quote unquote, root out corruption to what the president was trying to do as well. Is that right?
Exactly, Tanzina. And then you had Representative Jim Himes, who's a Democrat, who made the point that this wasn't Trump, according to him, this wasn't Trump wanting to investigate corruption in Ukraine. It was him aiming corruption in Ukraine at a political opponent.
Taylor and Kemp are career diplomats, and they, in their opening statements, they made the point that they've worked under multiple presidents, Democrats and Republicans. How would you describe or characterize their performance in the testimony?
Well, yes, these guys are both careerists. George Kent today is in his characteristic bow tie and pocket square and three-piece suit. Bill Taylor has this, you know, booming, low, dramatic voice. And the Democrats use that to their advantage because they put up the text messages that Taylor had sent. They even had a little graphic with a text bubble and his picture on it and had Taylor read out the text. So you heard his voice in the background while looking at his texts, and people will surely think that was effective. So they are being praised today. I spoke with two people on the Democratic side, Democratic staffers. They were very pleased with how this was working out. One of those staffers is for Representative Jackie Speier, and she called them heroes today. And it will be interesting to see as this plays out on Friday and in next week's hearings how the Republicans treat these guys, because they are so respective. Treat all of these witnesses, because these are careerists, they're nonpartisans, and It started to get a little bit heated today in the Republican questioning, and we'll see if that continues on Friday and next week.
When you say heated, I mean, there were moments where it felt somewhat, dare I say, combative. There was a moment where, Taylor had to say, well, listen, it's not my job.
If I can just respond, let me just reiterate that I'm not here.
I've got 1 minute left.
I know you only got a minute left.
I'll withdraw the question.
I'm not here to take one side or the other. That's your
decision. Ambassador, let me answer this.
The general will suspend.
Do you think that strategy right now of the Republicans either being visibly frustrated or, using the word combative in their questioning, is going to be effective going forward?
Well, if we look at history, not necessarily. I spoke today briefly with Frank Bauman, who's the author of High Crimes and Misdemeanors, a book on impeachment. He said that this is a way that today's hearing diverged from the Nixon and Clinton impeachments. In those cases, politicians didn't claim that it was all a media conspiracy. They didn't attack the integrity of public servants. They didn't attack the other party. And in those cases, members of the president's party, in the end, did support impeachment. So that's one way that today was a lot different, and maybe that's the strategy for this era, the Trump era, this new century, or maybe it's not.
Of course, we can't leave off without talking about what's coming up on Friday, which is when former ambassador to Ukraine Marie Yovanovitch will testify. Tell us whether or not she came up in today's questioning so far, and what are you anticipating to hear on Friday?
Yeah, she did come up, Tanzina, and I think Friday is going to be a much different hearing because she was appointed under Obama. She was fired under Trump, whereas the two witnesses today, they were more careerists under multiple presidents. Now, we know from the other witnesses that Giuliani allegedly went on this campaign against her. One of the witnesses in previous testimony, George Kent, he said that Giuliani went to Ukraine, quote, to throw mud at Yovanovitch. He said that he did a campaign of lies against Yovanovitch. So I'm sure she will be asked about some of those comments on Friday and her own experience of being fired and whether she thinks George Kent's comments are accurate. That said, I think a lot of Friday is going to be about her subjective experience of being removed and of, you know, just generally what is going on now. She wasn't involved in the sort of conversations that George Kent and Bill Taylor were, which they discussed today.
Max Kuttner is a journalist covering the FBI, Justice Department, and Russia probes. Max, thanks as always for helping us make sense out of all of this.
Thank you.
And we asked you if you're going to watch the hearings and what you're looking for. And some of you have decided not to follow the proceedings.
This is Ron Little Rock. I will not be watching because I have a job. There is no law broken. There's no reason for impeachment. It's a waste of time.
I am Catherine in Juneau Beach. I have impeachment fatigue and will not be watching the latest round.
Hi, my name is Bill from Wilmington, Delaware. I don't plan on watching the impeachment proceedings, as I believe it will just be a partisan showdown. But I will pay close attention to the media recaps, in particular, looking for anything that might sway Republicans.
Hi, my name is Kevin. I'm from Seattle, and I will not be watching the impeachment proceedings. My mind is already made up.
This is Karen Rowe from Forest Park, and heavens no, I will not be watching. I'm going to raise my child and teach my students and all of the real-life things on my revolving to-do list, and let the people we've elected attempt to correct course.
I'm Gene calling from Dallas. No, I will not be watching because I think the Republicans are hypocrites and the Democrats are impotent. Nothing's going to happen.
Others said you'd be watching closely and you had specific questions in mind.
This is Jose Luis Moscovich from San Francisco, California, and I do intend to watch as much as possible. The main question I have is, can we impose jail time on government officials who refuse to cooperate with Congress? That, I think, would send a clear signal that there's no impunity to be gained from trying to game the process.
This is Elizabeth Abraham from St. Petersburg, Florida, and I am going to be watching the hearings, the impeachment hearings. I want to make sure that things seem fair and objective and that they're not just kind of one-sided. the whole country can see that we are following the Constitution and doing the best thing that we can.
Hello, my name is Gary from Boston, Massachusetts. Yes, I plan to watch the impeachment proceedings. My aim is to conclude if the impeachment is valid or just simply politics.
My name is Amanda Sowerman, and I live in Aurora, Colorado. I do plan on watching the impeachment proceedings. I will enjoy the educational and historic value the most because I imagine I will be asked where I stood during this period in American history.
This is Terry from Bergen County. I don't look at them as proceedings, really. They're technically an inquiry. And now it's public, and who speaks is really controlled by the Democrats. I would like to know how many Republicans are on the committee actively and how many will be given equal time to question the people that are asked to speak before the committee.
I'm Vanya, calling from Miami, Florida. I'm definitely watching the impeachment proceedings every day, almost like a binge-watching TV show or a soap opera. I think it's been very important because it's been helping the American citizenry understand how many people are put in place to make democracy work.
Hi, my name is Rochelle. I'm calling from New Orleans. I will be watching. I will actually record two different networks, CNN and Fox. I want to pay attention to who the anchors are. I want to know what's going to be on the banners across the bottom. I want to know what the editors think are important, what the producers think are important.
Thanks to all of you who called in to share your thoughts and questions. And here's what I'm watching for: how each side lays out its case, what types of questions the attorneys are posing, and how the media decide to cover the hearings, which is something we've been talking about a lot this week on The Takeaway. And you can always give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.